18. And I would appreciate your prayers this week. Because in the midst of your snowstorm, we're supposed to be heading to Iowa, my wife and I, to a conference over at Faith Baptist Bible College. And so we're going to be there from Tuesday to Friday. And then we're coming back through, meeting up with my parents to get the kids, and then we're heading to Michigan for a wedding super quick. So we're going to enjoy like a couple of states over the week. So it's going to be exciting. I'm pretty excited. I really enjoyed this conference last year. And then you realize how many people that you were connected with in college, and you get to meet them all in a big reunion. It's just enjoyable. So just be in prayer for us as we go, and that we learn something. I mean, that would be beneficial, that we learn something as well. So but Genesis 18, how many of you have been to this chapter before? Anybody? Okay, probably everyone, if you've been to Sunday school for any length of time. And so I took a different perspective here tonight that hopefully will click. And I titled this Attitude and Fellowship. Attitude and Fellowship. And you know, as we jump in here, we understand that Abraham and Sarah's names have changed. And they've tried to present their own plans, their own ways. Both of them, they've come up with different solutions that God says, no, I want you to do my plan, as crazy as it might seem. And then we understand that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 means something. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. You know, if we lean into our own understanding in any facet, then we're not trusting the Lord with all of our heart. Have you noticed that? It's an either or. And even one little ounce of trying to listen to our own reasoning, our own understanding, we're not trusting Him. And so we need to back up and say, I trust you, God, no matter how crazy this seems, because I've noticed that when we come to the end of ourselves, God is seen more clearly. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen that? If you've never seen that, you have not come to the end of yourself. Start praying that God will bring you to the end of yourself. No, I don't want discomfort. Yeah, you want to see God more clearly. When Moses caught a glimpse of the backside of God, it changed his whole entire image. It affected him. And through our circumstances in our life, whatever trials that come, the more that we see of God, the better off that we are going to be. Because then we say, hey, God, I put my life in your hands. I want to trust you with all of my heart, okay? And you don't have to raise your hand, but think about it. Have you been through a situation like that? All right, so as we get into this, God has called Abraham to do something if I could say, awkward to talk about last week. I mean, it's just, hopefully none of you had an awkward conversation going home to your children and they're asking you a lot of weird questions. But yet God had called him to do something, to identify, and it was the act of circumcision all the way through. It didn't matter if you were a servant in the house or whether you were 99 years old. This must be done. And you know what? Abraham obeyed because he had faith. He put his trust in God and says, hey, what you say, I will do. So tonight, I want you to think about your attitude as you fellowship with God. And it could go one way or the other. As you think about your fellowship with God, sometimes think about it like this. The more that we have you ever noticed that when people come to Christ, they can do one of either one of these things. One, they can hang around the community of God, the church of God here, so much so that they almost look at the unsaved and say, ew, gross. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, you don't have to confess your sin, but probably at some point we've all done it. Say, no, I would never do that. You've probably done it, okay? If you're denying it, you've probably done it. I mean, gross, unsaved. Can you believe what they're doing out there? Have you ever asked that question? Okay, you don't need to confess your sin, but how sinful they are. Duh. Right? Duh. What does it say in the Bible? They are a child of the devil. Duh. Okay. They probably don't realize it. Most of them, I mean, they are introducing Satan clubs in Illinois for schools. Have you noticed that? So some people actually want to claim that they're a child of the devil, but most people would not. All right. And so sometimes the more that we fellowship with the church of God, the more that we can go, unsaved. And we might even throw stones. Unclean, unclean. Okay. All right. You get that picture of the Bible? But sometimes we can go on the opposite end of the scale. And then the closer that we get with God and the closer we get with the community, we understand that these people need Jesus. And we're like, come on, bring it in. We had a lady at our church at Dayton. Her name was B. Okay. And she was a busy bee in the right kind of way. Listen, if you came to church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if she saw you in the local grocery store, if she saw you anywhere, guess what she's going to do? Oh, come on, come on, come on. It's so good to see you. And she just gives you a hug. It doesn't matter. Sometimes she gave me a kiss. And I'm like, okay, Keely's right there. She's watching. Okay, we're good. We understand that she's not trying to do anything here. Okay, all right, we're good. All right. And she's just an older lady. She used to work at a local pharmacy. Okay. And she did that to all of the customers as well. Now, some people were just totally weirded out by that. How many of you would be weirded out by that? Okay, just you're not huggers, okay? But you just got used to it. And you say, bring it on. It's my daily medicine. Come on, give me a hug. I love it. It's great. And even when I went back, I said, are you still hugging during COVID? Yeah, come on in. And she just gave me a hug. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you smell like. It doesn't matter what color of skin you have. It doesn't matter. She's going to share the love of Jesus with you. It's affected her. And so that's where, like, our fellowship with God and with the church can have one of those two issues here, okay? Or one of those two reactions, okay? Sometimes we get, we want to shelter ourselves so much and we get so self-focused and we think that we're fellowshipping with the church and with God that we say, oh, unsaved, ooh, despicable, throw a stone. But then on the other side, our fellowship with God and our fellowship with the church actually affects the way that we see and we are concerned. Okay? Let me throw some examples out because I think this is very, very important. Okay? When you see people rioting in the streets, how do you respond? When they're throwing rocks through windows, when they're stealing Michael Jordans or what do they call them, Yeezys or something, I don't understand. All right, I just embarrass myself. How do we respond? Now, selfishly and carnally, my response is go get a job, right? How many of you said that? You want to confess your sin tonight? If that's the first thing that we think, we might be over here. Say, ouch. Okay, we'll get there, all right? What about, you remember when... when some from, I would say the Gen Zers, because millennials are too smart for this, okay? My generation always got blamed for everything, by the way, okay? All right, you remember when kids were eating Tide Pods? You remember when they were licking toilets because they didn't like their president? You say, I never saw that. It's gross. You don't want to see it. It's gross. That's nasty. All right? Okay. Was your first response, these are idiots. Let's confess our sin. Bring it on down. The altar's open tonight. Okay? I can't believe these idiots. They must be millennials. Okay? My generation gets blamed for everything. Or did you respond, I wonder if those kids have parents that love them? I wonder if they understand that Jesus loves them. I could go on all day. We've got plenty of examples. We're really good at this. And casting the first stone. Oh, the ones that are without sin, let them cast the first stone. Man, I'm smacking myself up. What was it, a divine 2x4? Is that what you said this morning? Okay, I love that, okay? I'm smacking myself upside the head with a divine 2x4 in the sense of what God is hitting me with. And what we see here tonight and how our fellowship with God should affect our attitude towards a few things, okay? And as we jump into this, we see, okay, where is Abraham at? He's at the opening of his tent. It's a hot day. Anybody longing for a hot day again? Okay, yeah. Besides pastor? Okay, all right. I was just telling somebody, I can't wait till it's 80 degrees again, okay? I love the warm weather, okay? I love it. I don't like everything freezing, okay? It's just, it's painful, all right? It's not enjoyable for me. I don't pray for that, all right? I'd rather it be warm, but here it is. We'll just have to talk about it tonight as we get into this. Carlton, you're just going to have to keep up with me, all right? So all of the sons of men have appeared, and we'll see this in verse number 1. We say, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. Okay? So Abraham's sitting there. The Lord has appeared in the place where he's at. And it says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him or near him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, we're all going to have an example here, okay? Remember, Abraham is, what, 99 years old? Is that how old he is? That's what we discussed last week, okay? We need our oldest people in the group here tonight to get up with me. We're going to have a race, okay? All right, we ready to go? So where are you going with this? This is kind of absurd that he's running to meet these guys. I say, come on down, I'll take a seat with you, okay? Come sit with me. Not running. And you'll notice as we go through this chapter that he's going to be running a lot as we go through it. But all of a sudden he sees, does he know that it's the Lord? We don't know that. I highly doubt it at the beginning. He just knows the three guys are showing up, so he gets up and he starts running. Verse 3, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet. Has anybody invited you in and washed your feet lately? Okay. How many of you would be weirded out by that? Anybody in here? I would be so weirded out. Wash my feet? No, I'll keep my socks on. Thank you. All right. I'm not one to walk around with bare feet. Some of you enjoy that. I don't do that. Okay. I like my socks on. And now when it's cold, slippers is great. It just weirded me out. But here he is. He's He's, hey, come in. I'm going to wash your feet. Rest yourselves under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. So he's offering all these things. And you know, the next thing that he did was say, hey, woman, make me a sandwich. Does anybody see that in the KJV language? He doesn't do that. Here, let me pull up my lazy boy and turn on the TV while I watch you do everything. I didn't see that either. Okay, and now times have changed. I understand that. Times have changed a little bit. We don't do the exact same thing that they did back then. But Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, hey, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd. Okay, here, let's team up here. You make some things, and then he runs off to the herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, I understand that with this first point, you should understand that this is not the main point of the passage. But I think that God puts this in here for us to be able to see and hopefully be challenged by it. And that's our attitude concerning hospitality. When Abraham saw these 3 men, he says, listen, I'm going to take care of you. And I know you're on your way through, but just stop for a while. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you're rested up. I'll make sure that you're fed. I'll make sure that your feet are washed so you can get back right on the road and keep dirtying up those feet again. Do you ever think about that? Do you ever get tired of things that you know will never end? Like washing dishes, vacuuming. Some of you are already like, yeah, preach it. I can go along with this message. Yeah, bring it on. I mean, washing the clothes, you know. I mean, why can't my food just make itself, right? Why do I have to eat it up? We should, like, we're in 2022, for crying out loud. I should have robots that are making my food for me. And you know what? I think it would be concerning if I had robots actually making my food for me. They would probably mess up. All right. Any of you concerned about self-driving cars? I'm not sure if I could do that. All right. But as we get into this, we understand that here he is. He doesn't complain about, hey, their feet are just going to get dirty again. He just steps up. He says, I'm going to take care of you. We're going to wash your feet. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to make sure that you have your rest. You're going to be taken care of. When you're in my realm here, when you're in my home, you're going to be taken care of. This is my space. This is, in a sense, have you ever heard of my castle? Okay, this is my castle, and I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And he didn't just say, hey, you do this, because Abraham could have done that. He had the rights within his culture just to demand everything to be done and for him to sit down and just enjoy the company. But yet he goes off, he says, listen, we're going to do a team effort. I can't do it all right now, okay? But Sarah, you take care of this. And he goes and he catches the calf, and then he brings it in and he says, hey, you take care of this, and he's getting ready of all the other things. He's stepping up and being a part of the work to make sure that these people who are coming into his home, into his area, are being taken care of. Did you notice it doesn't say anything about the color of their skin? It doesn't say anything about who they voted for. What team they're on, what language they speak. And there's a whole lot of other classifications out there today. I mean, I imagine I can ask our public school teachers here. Let's not put you on the spot, but I'm starting to hear people introducing themselves as these non-binary he, her, him, she, they. I'm not sure what I am today. Tomorrow I might be something different, and yet, does he ask what they think about their gender there? He said, "Well, they weren't dealing with that." Oh, you'll find out in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were dealing with a lot of unnatural things. I'll take care of you. But it's uncomfortable, God. Sit a while. I'll take care of you. I'll show you the love of God. Well, this is my stuff. Don't mess with my stuff. No, I'm pretty sure that the promise was given by God that he would provide everything to Abraham, and he has. Has anybody noticed that? It's not my stuff. I'm a steward of what God has given me. So he gives him food. He sits him down. Does he know? Does he know? It really doesn't matter at this point. What it matters is that he loved and cared for these three men. Here's a couple of questions that we need to ask ourselves. Are we quick to aid those in need? Are we quick to invite others in and take care of them? Are we quick to be involved in hospitality? Or are we really good at watching it being done? Oh man, they're doing a good job. We'll just let them keep doing their thing. Or say, no, this is my job too. Are we humble in our hospitality? You know, I didn't notice Abraham coming back and saying, "Hey, listen, I ran super fast and super hard. Check this out. Check out my calves. Yeah, you know, my calves when I went to go get the calf. I mean, just look at me. I can run." Just, he's not all about himself in this moment. We're actually seeing some humility in this moment. We're seeing the same guy who dropped to his face just a little while ago in the beginning of when God confronts him, and he's dropping to his face. And this is a man that he's being humble, and he's going out and he's willing to serve. What kind of attitude is in place when we deal with hospitality? You know what? I believe that I talked about it a little bit last Sunday night, but you know what? If someone decided earlier on in their life to get an abortion, would they be too scared to walk through those doors and worship with us because of what we might say? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that a little emotional? But they voted for this person, and if they voted, they can't be biblical. Sounds like they need Jesus, right? But are we judging them so much, or they feel so much fear from our judgment that they won't step through those doors? What if they don't understand what their gender is? Well, how dare they? Just go ask your doctor. Duh. Well, I guarantee they won't talk to you about their concerns if we have that type of an attitude. And so listen, folks, this is something that I've constantly got to be hitting myself with all the time. because it might not come out through my mouth, but sometimes it hits really hard up here all the time. You ever catch yourself in your thought process being really sinful when we say we are a child of God? Are we ever critical in our minds? Do we ever just respond right off the bat? Have you ever just responded just as fast after you've been critical? God, I am so sorry. I should never be thinking that way. Hospitality. What's our attitude? Are we humble? Why does he put this in here? I think one of the reasons that it's in here is because later on, when the angels show up in Sodom, what kind of reception did they get in Sodom versus a follower of God? The unnatural people, the depraved people, those that did not follow after God were banging down the door, demanding, serve those two new people out here. There's a huge difference between Abraham's reception and their taking advantage of the same individuals. And so I think that that's part of it. But what is our attitude towards hospitality? Does it portray actual fellowship with God? Or does it portray this unclean spirit that we've got within ourselves? Unclean. Throw us down. Let's just jump down into verses 9 through 15. We'll see another attitude here. Where we see Abraham responded well, we're going to see Sarah struggles with her response. Verse 9, it says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, if Abraham doesn't know that the Lord's here in this situation, he does now. Because how would they know Sarah's his wife? Okay? Because she just made the bread. It doesn't sound like she's come out and was involved in this situation. But they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, should we ask the ladies, have you ever been in the other room listening into the conversations going on? Have you ever been? Anybody would confess to that? No. Okay, all right. She's listening in. She wants to know what these three strangers are talking about. And it says in verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And here she is, she's just laughing, kind of like some of you last week when I presented, hey, you know what? Some of you want to have a child at the age that you're at. And you're like, I think it was Joan that was up in front, and she's just started laughing out loud. I mean, it's just a reaction. She's just like, are you kidding me? I'm well past that. It's like asking my parents, hey, you want to have another child? Now, my dad always jokes about it, but then my mom gives him the look. Why? Because there's an understood, they are at the grandparent stage. They are not at the parent stage any longer. They like to spoil and send home. They don't like to deal with, problems. Hey, come over, deal with your child, right? Okay, I'll give them candy, and then you deal with the consequences of that candy, right? We understand where she's at. I mean, this is not something that we say, oh, how dare you, Sarah, not having faith in God. Please, I think we've all been there. I think we've all had our laughing moment. And I think it's just ironic that Isaac's name means what, laughter, right? And as you go on and it says, listen, it says, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a situation where you laughed out loud when you weren't supposed to laugh out loud? Anybody want to confess that? Okay, all right. I think a lot of us have been there. She did not laugh out loud. She laughed within herself. Verse 12. The Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Ouch. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Anybody been there? Have you ever tried to argue with God? Doesn't work, by the way. Have you ever said no to God? No, God. I'll do this, 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 and this, but not this. You might as well start saying yes. Pretty sure somebody adopted a child from China after saying no, right? Yeah, and then all of a sudden, hey, let's go get on an airplane. You know, for the first time, I'll get on an airplane, and I'll go over to China and take all my children with me and go get a girl. Pretty awesome God situation, I would say. Aren't you thankful that God pushes us beyond what we're willing to do to show himself mighty, to show himself glorious, to show himself beautiful? I mean, his orchestra, I mean, have you ever been to a concert where you've watched an orchestra and you're wondering how they're playing all those notes and how they're all paying attention to the same guy and yet they're all doing different things and you're wondering, how in the world? I'll just pay the money to watch, okay? Anybody ever been there? All right? It's like, wow, that's amazing. And yet God's orchestra is so much bigger. He's got the universe. You thought I was going to start singing that song. He's got the whole world in his hands because it's his playing field. I mean, it's his orchestra. He's working it all out, and it's absolutely gorgeous what he does. Now, if we just accept and say yes to God every single time that he asks us to do something, that would be wonderful. But sometimes we're sitting inside the tent just trying to listen into the conversation and laughing. God, I didn't laugh. Yeah, you did. Is anything too hard for me? God, what do I say to that? I mean, how do you want me to respond there? Yes. He can do anything that he wants to do. It doesn't matter how hard it seems for us. God's bigger. God's better. He says, I laugh not, for she was afraid. Have you ever been afraid? And you responded in this manner? Fear leads to doing a lot of dumb things. Wouldn't you agree with that? Things that you wouldn't necessarily do if everything was calm. Have you ever feared you were out of control and then you lost it? It's absolutely humbling. It's like, okay, I'm trying to take control of this situation. I'm losing it. And then all of a sudden, you do lose it. And that's where we come in and we see that those laughable moments, is anything too hard for God? When we laugh, God is seen. We think, oh, that's way above me. all of a sudden God has revealed himself bigger, mightier than we could ever think. When we come to the end of ourselves, we see God more clearly. And that's where I don't agree with the statement, God will never give you anything above what you can handle. You say, well, that's biblical. Well, you didn't finish the statement. God gives us things that's way above what we can handle, but he's given us himself and his strength and his peace, his joy, his long suffering, his patience to be able to manage all of these things that come at us, right? I mean, we have to come to the end of ourselves so we can see him much bigger than us. And then who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? So here we jump into this attitude concerning faith. Listen, with our fellowship with God, the closer that we are with him, the more we say, yes, God, and we say, hey, I'm going to trust you with all my heart and not lean into my own understanding. What is my attitude concerning faith? When am I going to just say, yes, God, I'm not going to say no anymore. I'm not going to chuckle inside. Okay, I might look like I'm a mighty spiritual warrior on the outside, but here I am laughing on the inside. I'm still having an issue of my attitude concerning faith. And so, yes, Sarah struggled, but we don't sit here and judge her because we've all been there. We sit here and say, I understand. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, here I am. I'm just going to say yes to God because that's what we need to learn from this passage. But you jump down into verse 16, okay? And it says, and the men rose up from thence. They're done eating and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. So he even starts traveling them. He's sending them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So he's going on and he's saying, listen, am I going to let Abraham know the situation that's at hand? And he goes on, yes, Abraham, I know him. I have fellowship with him. Wouldn't it be awesome to have that description given by God to you and to me? That's what I can't wait for when I get to heaven. I know him. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. I'm covered in the blood. I've been saved. I've been forgiven. I know him. He's my child. When I can be claimed like that, oh, wow. That's awesome. But as he goes, let me in on what's going on. Should I let you? But I know you. And here's what's going to happen. Abraham is going to follow God. He is going to, all the families of the earth is going to be blessed through him. And he's going to know what justice is. He's going to know what judgment is. He's going to know what's right. And he's going to teach his children and their children to do what is right. And so he says, listen, I'm going to let you in on what's going on. I just think this is interesting, and I hope you'll be able to see this as I have in my study. But it goes on, it says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. And it seems, wait, God, you're going to be going down to Sodom, and you're going to be seeing whether the stories are true? Don't you know everything? And the answer is yes, he knows everything. But here he is. He's coming down and having a conversation on a human level with Abraham. And he's showing his concern. Because have you ever wondered if God hears the cry of the righteous? I know that David did a whole lot in all the Psalms. God, do you hear me? I'm crying out to you. Do you hear me? And then he would respond, yes, in the past you have done all this, this, and this. Okay, I'm going to trust in you. Does it a whole lot. And I imagine in this situation, because it's describing it there, how there are cries out against what Sodom and Gomorrah is doing. And God's saying, listen, I'm going to go and I'm going to see what's happening. We're gonna see what's going on here. What God is telling him is, here I am. I am going to be a just God and deal and punish what is wrong on this earth, because Abraham's the one that's going off and he's going to be following after God. He needs to know that God is a just God, that he's going to lift up the righteous and to punish the wicked. He needs to know that. And that's what God is displaying to him, that he is a just God. And it says in verse 22, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And I don't know if you've been through this before, but there's a lot that Abraham cries out and you say, Abraham, what is wrong with you? Okay, but you should understand what he's trying to do here. It says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Have you ever asked that? God, trying to do right here. I feel like I'm getting judged like those who aren't following you. What's going on? Anybody ever asked those questions over the last couple years? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So if there's 50 that follow after you, will you spare it? Who's he thinking of? He's thinking of Lot and his family? No, he's also thinking of all the people that he sent his 300 and 18, I believe it was, men in to go and to save. He's already put his life on the line. These are people that he's gone in to help, to save from captivity and to bring them back. And so he's got a little skin in the game. And he's saying, listen, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy this city? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Here he is. What is he doing? Is he questioning God, folks? Or is he just going to God's character and saying, God, based on your character, are you going to do this? I need to know that you're a just God. And you know what he says? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. See, it's not just the righteous that he's asking for. He's asking for the entire city based on how many righteous are there. So it's not just those that are following after God. It's those who might not claim God. It goes on. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That's humility, folks. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. Okay, 50 to 45. Now this just sounds like my children right now, right? You get what I'm saying? Dad, can I have 50 Tootsie Rolls after supper? I'm just using the same number that he's got here. But, you know, 50 is not too far off what Kian would probably ask me for, okay? No, Kian. 45? You know? And what does it keep going? It keeps going down farther and farther. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there be shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So he just kept begging and begging and begging all the way down to 10 people. And you think with as long as Lot has been in this community, maybe there's at least 10 people, right? Maybe Lot's entire family, maybe he's up to 10 now, right? And hopefully they all follow after God. And so God won't wipe this city off the face of the map. We all know that Lot and his family, it doesn't fill up 10. We, if you've read that before, we understand that. But here he is. Abraham is praying. And you could see it like that, because that's exactly what we call our communication to God. It's prayer. He's using intercessory prayer based on those who are following after God. He's concerned for those who are following after God. He said, God, would you judge it if it was just 10 people there who followed after you? And God said, no, I will spare the city if there's 10 people. I'll spare it. Say, where are you going with all this? What's our attitude concerning the judged? So, what do you mean by this? Okay, well, I don't know if you've noticed, but when God pronounces some judgment on people, whoever that person is isn't an island unto themselves. You know what I'm saying? And since that judgment does have an effect on those who are around them. It could affect the family. It could affect the church that they're a part of, the school that they're a part of. Did you all hear of the shooting up in Michigan over at Oxford that they shot? Several students, the kid came back in. I just heard, I think it was last week, that they finally got back into the school. They started using that building again. After all that time, you see, what one person's decision has affected a lot of people. And so here it is. God, Abraham knows that the decisions of those who are depraved and those who aren't following after God is actually going to affect those who are following after God. And he's saying, hey, listen, God, I'm concerned about these people. I'm concerned about what's going on there. Have you ever lifted up a prayer for our missionaries? Oh, they're way over there. And you know, the problem, we've got this American view that no other country matters. What they're dealing with, bleh. We've got our borders. Stay over there. And yet our missionaries are fighting hard to win these people to Christ. How much have you prayed for your missionaries lately? How much have I prayed for our missionaries lately? For the churches that we've been a part of planting. Yeah, we might not have stepped outside of America, but we've helped, and we've sent money, and we have sent teams, and we've sent missionaries to be able to plant these churches. And are we praying for these people that are being affected by all that's going on around them? Are we interceding on their behalf to God and saying, God, please help them? That's their problem. God bless America, right? We just start singing that song. Oh, we're doing great, right? There is so much going on in our world today. We should spend a whole lot more time on our knees. Thank God, help them. I have no idea what they're dealing with today, but they're dealing with something. Help them. But what's our attitude towards those who don't know Christ? See, God, yeah, I know I got to close off here. We're all wanting to eat, right? Okay, all right, I understand. This is so big here, all right? It's really been on my mind a lot lately and on my heart. God asks the question, should I tell Abraham about what I'm doing? And then he does it because he knows he's a follower of God, right? And you know what? God gives to those who believe in him, it's called special revelation. It's called the Word of God. That's what we have. That's what we've been given. And yet when we read that, what do we do with it? How do we handle that? We know that God is going to judge all of mankind again. We know that God sent his Son, and he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by him. We have been given this, and for those who believe, take God at his word, but how do we respond to that? So what is our attitude towards those who are judged? Are we praying for those who are followers of God that they keep in the fight, but are we praying and going and witnessing and evangelizing to those who don't know God? Are we sitting and holding on to the lifesaver and saying, oh, I like this. This is colorful. It's cool. Here, let me put that on myself. When we're already on the boat, we're not throwing out the lifeline. We're really good at singing that song, throw out the lifeline to someone today. I mean, we sung that song. You know what I'm talking about? We sing it. Do we do it? We've been given the Word of God. What's our attitude? Throw stones or bring it in. You need to experience the love of Jesus. I want you to experience what it is to be the salt of the earth that's still has use. I want you to experience the light as I reflect him. He's beaming his light on me, and you're going to experience the warmth of his rays, if you want to say it like that, because I'm bringing on in. Where are we at? Attitude and hospitality, or faith? In concerning the judge. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth. And God, I needed this. I needed it so desperately. I thank you for your truth that we can try to wade through. And God, there was some shallow end stuff, and there was some deep end stuff here tonight that you're teaching and placing in our heart, on our hearts. And God, I just ask you would help us to see the importance of the truth that's here and our attitude concerning our fellowship with you and with your church. God, may we never be the ones that say unclean and throw stones. May we always be the ones that are saying bring it in. Let me help you experience God's love. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.